Feels like I have always known you, and I swear I dreamt about you. All those endless nights I was alone. It's like I've spent forever searching. Now I know that it was worth it.
Hello and welcome to Twilight Talk, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything to do with the Twilight series by Stephanie Myers. Today's song is called Speechless.
How it feels, but with you it's like the first day of my life, 'cause you leave me speechless.
And we're your hosts.
When you talk,
I'm Catherine.
Me,
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Jarida.
I'm Marzia.
And I'm Becky.
Here's Marzia with the news.
The Twilight Lexicon received a bit of extra information about the werewolf genealogy dated from Stephanie Meyer. It contains some really interesting points, so make sure you check it out. Stephanie Meyer did a blog entry on her MySpace about Breaking Dawn recently. She said that she finished writing the rough draft of Breaking Dawn on December 22nd. She also compared the length of it to the other books, and Breaking Dawn is by far the longest. She is guesstimating that it might turn out to be 800 pages once edited. You can check this out by going to our MySpace.
Earlier this week, we heard that Breaking Dawn has been finished. So what does everyone think about that?
I think that's really cool. Because it's going to be a book then.
I was literally doing a happy dance around my room when I heard that.
It's exciting.
And it's going to be a really long book.
Yeah, what do you guys think that means for Breaking Dawn? 800 pages-ish.
It's just the rough draft, so obviously a lot, but a bit will... You can expect that a bit will be cut. So, but it's obviously a lot longer than any of the other books, so it's definitely going to be the longest book, I think. But we don't really know it yet.
I think it means it's going to be action-packed.
Yeah, me too. I was kind of wondering what she's going to put in Breaking Dawn, and obviously there's a lot of things she wanted to get across in the next book, so it's all good.
But, yeah, I think... And she gave us lots of stats as well, with all the number of words and in the other books too, which was pretty cool.
Just even how many pages it takes on, it's on her computer. How many pages each book is on her computer, which I think is really cool. And she doesn't cheat by using large font, because she said in one of the... Someone asked her what type of font she used, and she said she used 12 size font in New Times Roman, which I think is cool. Yeah.
And she said Breaking Dawn was 300 pages longer than Twilight on her computer. So, I mean, it's pretty good.
Whoa, that's a lot.
I can't even imagine writing 300 pages, but anyway, I guess it'll happen.
Can you imagine, like, staring at the screen with that many words?
Well, somehow, I think Twilight, the book, ended up longer than it is on her computer. Oh, right, never mind, forget it. I realize that the pages on the computer are bigger, so... Come on.
Well... I wonder how long it'll take for it to be edited.
But didn't she say that there was like a rough kind of estimated date that she's going to put it out? It was going to be publicated?
Fall of 2008?
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
So that's actually, let's get the months right, because it's not our fall, it's the Americans' fall, obviously. That would be our spring. So that's...
Australia's spring.
That's like November. That's quite a while away.
Yeah.
Actually. At the end of the year.
But then that's speed editing, because like she said, didn't she say that a couple of the other books had taken like a couple of years?
Yeah, she said Twilight.
From like rough draft.
Yeah, she said Twilight took like, 2 or 3 years to edit or something like that.
So then we can be kind of...
But let's... I don't think it'll take that long for Breaking Dawn.
No, because now she's got more of a fan base that's, like, waiting for the book and stuff, so...
And she's just more experienced now, too, because before she had no experience with books, but she's written four, including The Host, actually. So she does just have more experience in general now.
And so I think that's pretty much it for news discussion. The only other news was the lexicon. Okay, so we'll move on to emails.
So the first email we have is from Becky, and not this Becky, a different Becky. And she writes, "Congrats, guys. Your podcast rocks my socks. As for your discussion on what Edward would do if Bella chose Jacob Black over him, Edward has already answered that question for us. That, of course, he would let Bella go, that he would never force her to pick him or interfere if that were truly her choice, but he would also be waiting in the wings. He would always be waiting for Jacob to screw up badly enough to take Bella back. And we all know how patient Edward is, not to mention he's pretty much guaranteed to outlive Jacob. The big problem if Bella would choose Jake wouldn't have been Edward, but the Volturi. Alice said she was going to be changed, and Edward didn't dispute it, so they expect it, and they are keeping tabs. Keep up the good work, guys. Love the show. Becky." Okay, so that's our first email. What does everyone think about what she said about Edward having already answered the question about if Bella chose Jacob over him?
I think that's pretty much correct.
Yeah, I think it is probably correct, but I think when we won't know, because it might decide to do something different if it actually happened.
If it actually happened, yeah. And also the point about the Volturi, that she says that it wouldn't, that Edward wouldn't be the big problem, it would be the Volturi. But I don't see that being too big a problem, because if Bella decides to just give up Edward, then she wouldn't have anything to do with vampires anymore, except perhaps the fact that Jacob's a werewolf. What do you guys reckon?
But she still knows that vampires exist, and that was the Volturi's problem.
Oh, yeah.
And if she's not connected with the Cullens anymore, then the Volturi wouldn't have a reason not to kill her, because they wouldn't care, supposedly.
Yeah, exactly. So it would still be a big problem. Yeah, I get it. So it could be dangerous if Bella chose Jake, but I don't think that's happening, do you?
Hopefully not.
I think that's going to happen now.
And our next email is from Megan. And she says, "Hi guys, I just finished listening to episodes 2 and 3, and I wanted to make some comments. First, even though he doesn't look like my version of Edward, I am getting used to the idea of Robert Pattinson as Edward. However, I'm still not too sure about Kristen Stewart as Bella. I love her as an actress, but I just don't feel that her acting style is in a way that Bella would be. However, if the people casting the movie feel that they are right for the roles, then I guess we have to trust them. Plus, Stephanie Meyer is excited about them being cast, and we all definitely trust her. Another note about casting, I could never really picture Rachel Leigh Cook as playing Alice. The only person who I can think of at the moment as a suggestion is Rachel Bilson from The OC. She has some very Alice-like qualities in her appearance and acting. Also, I just wanted to say that I love the song at the beginning and end of episode 3, and I can't wait to hear what you plan to use next. Love, Megan." So she's basically talking about casting. Yeah, and I agree with what she said about Robert. But what do you guys think?
Robert's starting to grow on me too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I just can't wait till we get some first pictures of him, being Edward and stuff.
As Edward, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Kristen Stewart? I'm a bit not sure too. She actually, I guess I haven't really seen her in anything, but I'm kind of one part of me thinks, oh yeah, she's gonna be really good, and another part thinks, I don't really know if she's gonna be Bella, but that's just going off what other people said about her, so I'm not particularly.
I actually think her face is a bit too round.
Her face is a bit too round. I think that might be a little bit picky.
I think I'll probably be able to cover that up if that is a problem with certain angles of camera angles and stuff.
And what do you guys think of her suggestions as for Alice?
Oh, Rachel.
Because Rachel Leigh Cook is the one that Stephanie recommended, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually know much about either Rachel, so.
Uh-huh.
Neither do I, but I saw a picture of Rachel Lee Cook, and I've seen pictures of Rachel Bilson, and personally, I don't think either of them look like the Alice that I imagined. So, you know, that's my opinion.
Well, I just IMDb.
I was all about that Rachel, what's the Bilson's face being too round, not Kristen Stewart's, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, I think they're both too dark, I think.
What?
I don't know. I haven't really seen... I think they're both too dark. Like, you know, too... know.
Their skin's too dark.
Too... Not pale enough.
Oh, not pale enough. But they could be fixed by makeup, like...
They could fix... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know, but they've got... Don't they
and
both
lighting,
have, like,
lighting.
Dark brown hair and brown
yeah, but
eyes?
What?
They've got brown hair and brown eyes, don't they? I don't know. I've only seen pictures of them. I haven't actually seen them act in anything. So I can't really say. But...
Well, I just IMDb'd Rachel Bilson, and I think she looks like she could play Alice. She's really tiny, and she looks really pretty, so I think, just from appearance, she could play Alice, but I haven't seen her in anything.
I don't think she has a pixie-like appearance, though. I mean, I sort of agree with Becky. I imagine her face as being less round, and a bit... her features, I think, are too big for Alice, because she's described as having, you know, small features, and they're all pixie-like. I think Rachel Bilson doesn't have that. I personally prefer Rachel Lee Cook.
Yeah, I guess it depends on their acting ability, then. Because I haven't seen either of them in anything. Okay. Justine says, "Hey guys, you're always begging for email, so I figured I'd send you one. Awesome episode again. Oh, and I forgot to say, I've been mentioned on episode 2. Anyway, I actually have feedback. You talked about the ability that Bella would have when she becomes a vampire. Not all vampires have a special ability, right? And what Bella is right now is just a normal teenage girl, so maybe she will just stay normal. The reason why we all identify so much with Bella is because she's just like everyone else, except that she loves a vampire. I would find it weird if suddenly she had the coolest ability in the vampire world. A part of me wants her to stay human just because we relate to her so much as she is now. Also, forgetting what I just said, I was thinking how Bella always says that her greatest ability is to get into trouble, or that she's clumsy. Do you have any ideas as to how it could become a vampiric quality? I guess we'll pause here, and do you guys actually have any input on that?
Well, I was reading...
I think I agree with my character.
Sorry.
Let me say all.
Okay,
go first, you go first.
Please go first.
Oh, okay. I was reading Eclipse yesterday, and Edward was talking about how bad her luck was. And she was like, yeah, but this has nothing to do with my luck. So there's a lot of emphasis with her luck. So it would be really interesting if that turned out to be some kind of vampiric quality.
Yeah. Though, what kind of vampiric quality would it be?
Like, she has, like, overly good luck. Like, she can just has loads of good luck.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Or, like, when she's around people get good luck or something. Or something, you know, something like that.
Or bad luck, maybe.
Or bad luck, yeah. Well, that would be horrible. It's like you wouldn't stay too long in the room with Bella because something might break. Well, that's normal anyway, so... But I thought that it was really cool how she raised the point that Bella's just normal. And that's why we relate to her so much. So maybe she'll just become a vampire.
Yeah,
and be
maybe
normal.
She'll just keep
yeah,
her human
normal.
Qualities. And that would be what's special about
yeah.
her.
Or, yeah, that she can relate to humans
yeah.
more than other vampires, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know.
Continuing, she says, I like what you said about her being able to read minds like Edward, though. It would quote-unquote confirm in a way that they were soulmates. If werewolves could become vampires if bitten, well, they heal fast, and as I read an Eclipse and saw werewolves healing, I was being reminded of Claire in Heroes, who has fast cellular regeneration. She can never be sick, and any poison would just be rejected from her body. If the werewolf healing worked like that, I'd say they wouldn't become vampires. But they seem to be healing fast, but not as fast as Claire, so I'm thinking that maybe it's even worse. Like, if they're bitten, they're less likely to die than anyone else, but the venom has the time to make its effect on their body. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think
that's a pretty good idea.
But I think that perhaps werewolves, being the natural enemy of vampires, would have some sort of self-destruct mechanism. Like, if the venom became too much, if the venom became so much that it was poisoning them, they would die rather than turn into a vampire, because that would kind of defeat their purpose as the natural enemy of the vampires.
Yeah.
So
because vampires can kill werewolves, so we know that.
So
they can't keep regenerating.
So,
but it's a good idea.
But it does make sense, because they don't heal.
Well,
too
what do you guys
much.
Think?
But I've never watched
like,
Heroes, so
like,
what do you
think? Because they're enemies, though, you'd think that the body would kind of, like, reject that poison, like, just, like, get rid of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
because
they have a fever and stuff, and vampires
yeah,
are really
yeah.
cold. And they said in Eclipse that Carlisle had to give Jacob a lot more morphine than was necessary for a normal human because his fever kept burning it off. So it could have the same, like, effect with a vampire's venom. It could just, like, burn that off or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might not have been. It might not
that
even be
sense.
As strong as like if a human was bitten, like the venom might.
Like
not be
like
there.
The like
yeah.
they're immune to it and just like reject
yeah.
it completely.
Yeah, that could work. Okay, so that's it then. For
I
emails?
Think that ends our emails for today. So on to our main discussion, which this week is what attracts Bella to Edward and the other way around. So basically, we're just talking about why does Bella love Edward so much, and why does Edward love Bella, and why do they seem like they're being made to be with each other, apart from that they have been made to be with each other. So let's start off with the first point. So why, in Twilight, the beginning of Twilight, we see Edward being really quite protective of Bella, even though he starts as kind of a character that sort of trying to keep his distance, and then suddenly he's all over Bella. He's like everywhere. So why do you think he's so protective of Bella from the very start, before Bella even likes him?
I think it was all intrigue, because he's like in the first chapter of Midnight Sun, he says that he was, like, intrigued and curious that he couldn't actually read Bella's mind. So I'm sure if he could read Bella's mind, he probably wouldn't have had the same attraction to her at first. So I think it was just all intrigue at the start.
Yeah, me too. That makes sense, because if you had been had that ability for such a long time, and you could tell what everyone else was thinking, and then suddenly this girl walks in and you have absolutely no idea what she's thinking, I think it would be kind of a bit like, why is this happening all of a sudden? It's never happened before. So he'd try and work out, especially Edward, seeing as he seems like that kind of person, to try and work out everything and get to the bottom of everything. I don't think.
Yeah. That's a good answer. And also the fact that he doesn't want to, because like when he saves Bella from the car, you know, she almost gets hit by the car, I thought that was a response to the fact that if Bella got hurt, then he might lose control, because Bella smells so good to him. And that was from the very start. Like the mind reading thing.
That was the excuse he gave his family,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
But maybe he just felt that that need to protect her for some reason. Like, some people find it, like, not necessary, but they find some people that they think they should ought to protect more than others or something. And obviously there was some sort of attraction between Bella and Edward at the start.
Yeah, he offered to drive her to Seattle quite early on, which is quite
odd.
What?
You just broke up. What did you say?
Oh, Edward offered to drive Bella to Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Does everyone remember that? So, like, that could be true, taking that into account as well. Because, like, Bella's truck wasn't that fantastic, so...
But it's also another way of
getting to know her a bit more so that Edward can solve the puzzle of why he can't read her mind and why does she seem so different to everyone else when she's not really, like, haven't seen that different. Okay.
Moving on to the next question. Why does Edward choose to have a relationship with Bella even though he knows it's dangerous? It's possible that Edward could kill Bella every single time that they get together. So why does he think that he can withstand that and decides to put
Bella in danger? First, he might have been, even though he didn't admit it, slightly overconfident, because he really was interested and he really wanted to be able to know what she was thinking. So I think that was the first reason, and that if, like, he figured if he could figure out what Bella was thinking and if he could finally read her mind, he might not have continued to want to, like, go out with her, however you're going to say it, since they weren't really dating at that point. But, yeah, I think it was the first time he asked her to go to Seattle was because he wanted to figure out how, like, what she was thinking and stuff.
She was irresistible. She was like a... I think it's just because they're attracted to each other, basically.
Maybe she...
It's kind of an interesting choice.
Maybe he thinks that she... Like, the attraction they feel is stronger than perhaps his instinct to... I don't know. Because it's kind of all mixed together. Why he likes her. Because he always says that she smells really good. But, I don't know how to phrase that.
Yeah. As I said, Bella is irresistible
to him.
And besides, Bella loves Edward as well. Bella fell in love with Edward.
So perhaps if Bella didn't love Edward, then it would be a bit different, because then it would just be one side and Bella would be like, no, I don't actually like you.
Yeah.
And he might not try and make the relationship work, and it doesn't work. Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
So that leads kind of into the next question. Why is Bella so comfortable about going out with a vampire, even though it means she's in constant danger? Because Bella is weird. No. We know that Bella's attracted to danger. She seems to get herself into a lot of danger. And as far as dangerous situations go, this is a pretty dangerous situation.
I think it was just Edward at the beginning, because, honestly, he's just as irresistible as Bella is to him. Because who wouldn't want to go out with Edward? I mean, the way he's described at the beginning, and he just, like, asks Bella to go to Seattle, and he does that thing with his eyes, like, who wouldn't say yes to him?
The smoldering thing.
Yeah. So I think at the beginning they were both just interested and curious and stuff, and later it actually started to develop into real feelings and all that good stuff.
I was gonna say, don't you think it's a bit random that, like, Bella's blood is, like, the best spell for Edward, and, like, he can't hear her think and stuff, like, something, like, it's destined or something. And that's a bit scary, because then it could turn out like Romeo and Juliet, like, a love could die or something, I don't know.
That is really weird.
It is. I only just thought, I was like, wait a minute. But, yeah. It's pretty cool, though.
Okay. I'm going to go straight on to, what are the pros and cons of a human-vampire relationship? What's great about dating a vampire, and what's not so great about dating a vampire?
Well, they're gorgeous, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The pro is that they'll love you forever if they're actually in love with you. Because Edward says in Eclipse that Jacob thinks of him as, like, a living stone, and it's true, because when they experience a real change that actually like, overrules the way they were before, there's no going back. So if a vampire actually falls in love with somebody, they're not going to fall out of love with you, which is good. Security.
Yeah, and Stephanie Meyer said that in the personal correspondences, too. They never fall out of...
Yeah.
Then... Isn't that...
And that's a good thing, because then we know that Edward's never not going to... Like, Edward's always going to love Bella, whatever happens. And that's very...
Sweet. Yeah, it's comforting.
That's actually so romantic.
Okay. So, the next pro is that they're extremely patient because they live for so long.
Yeah. Yes, that is definitely a pro. And they're also, because they've lived for such a long time, they've also, they're experienced and then kind of, they know a lot. They're very knowledgeable, so that would be a pro in...
So it might help.
Yeah, it might help. I'm not sure how, but it could help eventually.
Okay, here we go. What about the cons?
Well, the cons are that it's extremely dangerous. I mean, they could kill you just by reaching out to touch you. Which is quite scary, if you think about it.
Yeah.
That is really scary. And Bella? I like that scene. That scene is good. That bit in the book.
Which one?
When he's talking to Bella, it's like, I could kill you by just reaching out to touch your face or something like that. Not very good at remembering that quote.
Yeah, that was in Eclipse, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I think that was in Twilight.
In where? You broke up.
Really? Because, you know, the part on the bed, where were they, were they talking? And he, crumbled the flower.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. Well, I think that quote might have been in Twilight, but they definitely came
back
to
about
the
quite
point
a lot.
That... Yeah, in Eclipse, because of the whole thing. But yeah, it is... But that is really dangerous, because it's probably... We probably don't realise how much self-control Edward is kind of having to use when he's around Bella, because they're so strong and
indestructible.
And it's probably... Yeah. And we probably don't realise that when we're reading it, because it's from Bella's point of view.
And then there's the con of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Be turned into a vampire and you have to lose your family. So that's a big sacrifice for a lot of people to make. And you can see in Eclipse, especially what kind of effect that takes on Bella's family, like Charlie, and how she's distancing... And they're always fighting, and Jacob and other
and
friends as well. How she's just distancing from herself from them.
Yeah, you have all these problems that with your family and stuff that you can't really resolve if you turn into a vampire. I mean, you can hardly go back and say, "Hey, Dad, I'm a vampire now."
That'd be an awkward conversation.
Yeah, that would be very awkward. It's like
I've been
away for a couple of years. Yeah, it's like I've been away for a couple of years, and now I've come back and I'm a vampire.
Like, you know how I told you I was touring the Alps? Well, actually, I wasn't.
I wonder how Charlie'd react to that.
Yeah, well, I think he'd probably be in disbelief because he doesn't know that vampires exist, and then suddenly. Bella comes back and goes, "Hey, Dad, I'm a vampire." Well, hey, Jones.
But I think she'd gone loony or something.
Yeah. He might come around to it eventually, though, because it just depends how open he is about the idea of vampires existing. Because some people can believe those kinds of things really easily, while other people... Even if the evidence is staring them right in the face, they just can't get it. They just don't want to believe it, so they won't believe it.
Yeah, and he's got all his suspicions from, like, Billy and stuff about vampires. And
yeah.
Do you think it could depend on how open Billy is with Charlie as well? Because Billy would probably know, Jacob would know, and he'd tell Billy. but I'm not sure if they would tell Charlie. I mean, they wouldn't tell him if Bella wasn't a vampire, but if she...
They'd tell him if they thought she was in danger or something, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but would that classify being turned into a vampire, though? Because they're probably pretty against the idea of Bella being turned into a vampire.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you'd think Billy and Charlie being as close as they are, Billy would want to tell Charlie that his daughter could be in danger, because they think becoming a vampire is dangerous. But that would also be breaking part of the treaty, or whether, even if it's not the Quileute Treaty, just like the unspoken treaty that nobody on the outside can know about this world.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. And when she becomes a vampire, how many people can she tell? Because she could hardly walk around Forks and proclaim that she's a vampire. Like, would she be able to tell some of her friends from school? But probably not, because that would
be... Yeah,
really
I don't think she could tell anybody.
Yeah, telling too many people, yeah, she would be able to tell anyone.
Because otherwise it would put them in danger from Volterra, because you know how they react to Bella knowing about vampires. So... be interesting to see, like, what the other members, like, of the Cullen family, or Coven, I don't know how to say it, did when they became vampires. Was it too late for them to see their family members? Because I have a feeling that none of them would have gone back to their old lives and told anyone about it. Because it just wasn't kind of a thing that you did in the circumstances that they were, it wouldn't have
well,
kind
wouldn't
of
their
but
family
for Bella it's different, isn't it?
Wouldn't their family
Sorry?
Kind of think that they're dead anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I mean. That's what I mean, it's not really
and
something you do.
No.
If
so,
you're considered dead.
So then, getting a little bit back onto topic, because even though we're on topic, I'm just saying, like, how would that relate to having a relationship with a vampire? So... would that make it so you'd have to, if you were to have a relationship with a vampire, that would mean that you'd have to make a massive choice whether you choose the love of your life or your family and your friends and everything else that you've had for however many years you've lived before you met the vampire. So, what do you guys reckon? Would you choose the vampire or the family and everything else? Bella says she'll definitely choose Edward, so...
it depends how deep you're in with it, I suppose.
Yeah, but the good thing is that if you are turned into a vampire, you know your partner will never stop loving you because of that pro that we had before, because vampires don't change.
Yeah, it depends how in love you were with your vampire person, because because you'd have to be willing to commit an entire eternity with them, which is a long time. And I guess once you're a vampire, you'll love them forever. But, like, before that, you might want to do other stuff. Which, you know, just like ordinary human things, which Edward's always trying to convince Bella to do before she marries him and becomes a vampire. So, yeah. And our last con is about vampires' personal space, because they are so dangerous, and what kind of vampire... he is a vegetarian or not a vegetarian, which would limit time spent with them and physical relationships. So yeah, that's pretty.
Well,
that kind of links in with the dangerous point.
Well, I don't think if a vampire wasn't a vegetarian, you could ever have a relationship with them, because then they'd just kill you. So that wouldn't really work.
It could be some weird, twisted type of relationship.
Like the woman that worked for the...
I
Vulture.
Know, you know...
or something.
What?
I'm like the woman who worked for the Volturi.
What did you say, Margaret?
Their secretary or whoever she was.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Ooh. I wouldn't want that. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
Mm. But then you'd end up getting disposed anyway, so that's not helpful.
It's not... yeah.
It's not a particularly good relationship
yeah.
to have.
So you'd want to make sure that the vampire you were dating was vegetarian. Before you go out with them.
Like, so, you were vegetarian? Good. That, can you, I don't think if they weren't a vegetarian, you'd have a chance to ask, would you? You'd be like, so, you gonna kill me? No, okay, I'll go out with you then. That would be a rather strange conversation. Okay. So, how much audio do we have?
44 minutes. Do we have more stuff to do, doing? Is that it?
Do we have more questions?
Oh, I just skipped the new moon questions. Because, like, I thought that was a bit...
Wait, I'm completely lost it. Where is Polaris?
Why does Edwin leave really Bella in your moon?
Because, like, I thought... Do you want to include them or... Or not? Because I thought that could be another
well, the answer to the question, why does Edward leave Bella in New Moon, is that Edward thinks it would be a good thing for Bella, but there you are. That's yeah. The simple answer, anyway.
It does take him a long time to kind of come to that conclusion, to leave Bella. I mean, it's a whole book gone by. And then, I'm leaving you because... It's too dangerous. It's a bit kind of strange decision to make.
But well, obviously, well, not obviously, but maybe he's just in denial at that point in time.
I think maybe it was strange because
anyway,
I don't know how it could have thought it was a good idea though.
Yeah, I thought I really didn't. I mean,
I didn't believe.
I thought it was. Yeah.
Maybe it's just a plot device for Jacob. It was a plot device to create the story of Jacob a bit more, develop that story a bit more, because she wasn't originally going to put it in, so maybe that was kind of,
Yeah, but even plot devices have to have some, like, grounds in reality.
Yeah, it has to have some meaning. It's a pretty big plot device to have, like,
that's true,
to do with anything in it.
Yeah.
I have a question, actually. Becky was saying how every one of the other Cullens went through, like, a life or death situation when they were turned into vampires, so everybody thought they were dead anyway. If Breaking Dawn's going to be 800 pages, do you guys think that Bella's going to be in a life or death situation in order for Edward to turn her? Because he already has... ethical issues with stealing her soul and stuff like that. So, if it's 800 pages, she could still have a life or death situation for Edward to turn her.
Oh yeah, that would be really dramatic kind of thing, wouldn't it? Because it'd be like, she's dying.
And that way Edward wouldn't have to feel guilty.
I was just going to say that if that happens and if Bella does have a life-death situation, I think that's going to be better for the treaty. Because if Bella's going to die, I think they would all prefer that she would be turned into a vampire. So maybe that way they wouldn't have a war.
Although yeah, well, they might devise like a plan or something to like make it look like she's in a life-or-death situation, like for the treaty.
Yeah.
Like, is it something so, like that could happen too?
I don't know. Although Jacob did say that he'd rather if Bella die, you know, he'd rather her to die than become a vampire. So I don't know.
Yeah, it would also be better for Bella as to fake a death.
You don't think Edward would let Bella die instead of turning into a vampire if it came to a life and death situation, would you? Do you think that?
I hope not.
I hope
that'd
not.
That'd be really
either.
Awful.
Yeah, me, that'd be horrible. Because not only Bella dies, but Edward loses his life partner, as it were.
I think it'd be better if it
and
was...
And Bella would probably feel betrayed by Edward as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's dead.
I think it'd be better if it was a life-death situation, though, because that way Edward wouldn't feel guilty about, like, taking her life when she has so much ahead of her.
Yeah, and keep going on about it.
Exactly.
And all that.
Yeah.
It would also be good in terms of, good in a very sad
action
sense.
Packs.
Yes. For Bella, in terms of severing all ties with the human world, with her family and stuff, because then they could just think she's dead instead of just missing, and that possibly could be more of a closure for them, but that's kind of a horrible thing to say. But it's still a option, I guess.
Yeah, but then everything might have been revealed to them, because like they could be there at the time, and then see Edward do that, and then they'll all know, and they'd probably feel better about it then, wouldn't they? Because it would have saved Bella.
So we'll move on to our last segment, which is what we started last episode, which was the favourite quotes segment, and we asked you guys to send in your favourite quotes, and we got one. How do I say her name? Jacinth. Okay. Alright. And she says, about quotes, one of my favourite was the same as Catherine. The clouds I can handle, but I couldn't fight with an eclipse. At first, I thought it was really cheesy, and nobody would say something like that spontaneously in the real world, because that's too poetic. But then I understood it properly and thought it was such a beautiful and true thing to say. And I love Jacob too. Yay! Someone else who likes Jacob.
Ooh.
Okay. And then she continues. There's another thing that I liked, just because it was from the quote of the day thing on SM's website before Eclipse was released. I don't have my book here, so I can't quote literally. It was something like, why did you stab him? Not that I complain. At this point, I was sure that Bella had really stabbed someone. But really, it's just in her kitchen when Jacob gets cut while washing the dishes, I think. And Edward comes in and sees the blood. I can't remember or find other good ones right now, but I'll think about it. Keep up the good work. Just think. So, yeah, that she's just saying what I said yesterday, and I like how she wrote the bit about the poeticness and beautifulness of the clouds and eclipse quote. Which
yeah, I looked
and
up the other quote that she mentioned just in case anybody cared. The actual quote was, "I was just wondering why you stabbed him. Not that I object." So she got it pretty close. I really liked that quote too. That was really funny.
I reckon it's funny.
It's pretty funny. It kind of like sums up a bit of their Edward and Jacob's relationship, or not relationship.
Yeah, or lack thereof.
lack thereof.
It's just a fun play on the tension between them, which is good.
Humor so with tension at all, but.
So does Becky? Do you have a favorite quote? Because you weren't here on our last show, but I'm not sure if you kind of got the message.
Yeah, I do have a couple of favourite quotes. I think my favourite one's in New Moon. I don't have New Moon right now because it's my sister's room upstairs because it's her book. And she's kind of asleep at this time of night. But it's when Edward's telling Bella that he's leaving. He doesn't like it. I know it's awful, but I don't know why it's my favourite quote. I don't know. I like that quote. And then I like it when they're back together and Ed was trying to tell Bella that he loves her and he's like, well, you believe the lie but you don't believe the truth or something like that.
Yeah, why can you believe the lie but not the truth? Yeah. That was my favourite quote, Becky.
Great minds think alike.
Exactly.
So that ends our favourite quote segment for this episode. And with that, it ends the show. So, who wants to do contact details today?
I will.
Okay. Rattle them off.
So, if you would like to email us, just email us at twilighttalkpodcast@gmail.com. And for your comments, suggestions, and anything you want to tell us about the Twilight series or anything on the show. Thank you.
Apparently last week we sounded really desperate because Everyone who emailed was like, you're always begging for emails, or, you know. So, yeah.
It's because we are desperate.
Well, emails are good content. Emails are good content. So, thank you for everyone who sent in their emails last episode. We really, really like, we really enjoyed reading them, and it really, it makes us feel good to know that people are listening.
Yeah, and we do read them out on the show.
Not just rambling, I think.
We do read them and we do reply to them as well. So, do send them in. Don't forget, our website is www.twilighttalk.podomatic.com. And don't forget to check through our live journal, which is community.livejournal.com/twilight_talk. And I believe we're on Podcast Alley. And don't forget us to and dig us at dig.com.
And we'll probably have a MySpace up eventually.
Thank you for listening to our show. And we'll see you next time. I'm Catherine.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Gerida.
I'm Marzia.
And I'm Vicky.
Bye.
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 What?
Oh, never mind.
I don't know what you're saying.
Sorry.
It wouldn't tarnish our view, the reader's view of.
Wait, Kevin, shut up.
What?
You keep talking in front of everyone. It's really hard to hear everyone.
Well, I can't hear anyone else. I can't hear anyone.
Yeah, but you're not listening to.
Okay. I'm trying okay. to, but I can't hear anyone. Okay, I'll shut up now. Go.
Does someone else have anything else to say? Pop and Catherine?
No, not really.